we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. I am Michael Storm. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, it is my pleasure to be here live worldwide across the Republic Broadcasting Network. Follow along. Go to towardanarchy.com. That's the easiest way to do that. And we'll reference that. We'll go back and forth to that throughout the show, because you can go there and there's links that I share and images, and there's all sorts of good information, I think. Anyway, I think it's good information. I try to share some fun stuff. I share some important stuff. I share visual things. I share links for study that you dive in a little bit deeper. And that's usually on things like economics. almost invariably, it's an economics thing, because economics is core to our freedom. And it really, truly, this must be on my mind all the time, but it must be extra poking at me this week, just sort of there at the back of the, just right there at that sharp pain. Just talk about this. Mention that money, that understanding the economy, that cash, that these things are liberty. These are real things that we all have to deal with. We all have to understand. And the better we understand them and the better we control them ourselves, the freer we are, the better our own existence will truly be. It really is a fact. And just to bring the point home before we ever even get started, I mean, we're just getting into the show. It's 4 minutes after 1 p.m. Central Standard Time in my live world, and we're just getting started. I'm going to give you the point before we ever even launch into any sort of topic of conversation and get into the meat of it. If you go to towardanarchy.com, look for April 30th. If you can't get there from the front page, if you're not there with me live, which right now you would be able to, if you just click boom right there, you'd be April 30th. And you'd see, I have some things, as always, some links. But I want you to scroll down to the bottom. And this is, I don't know where this came from. I don't know who put this together. That's often the case with a lot of the visual images that I share, because they're just random, you know, memes or what have you that have been shared across the social media, and I find them interesting, funny, poignant. There's a different one every week. I've been doing this for years, many, 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 many years. Back the original show years and years ago on Republic Broadcasting Network, I was doing this every week, sharing these links, specific links like this, and sharing a meme. And it's funny to see people pick that up a few years later and make it a part of their show. I always have it. I don't always talk about it. There's always some visual imagery there, and I find them to be pretty important, that they seem to get attention, especially with the people with the short attention spans, which is most people. You can get them to look through something like this, especially if you can catch their attention with the image or a flash of a short wording or something along those lines. Towardanarchy.com, April 30th. Scroll down to the bottom. There's the Anarchy and Meme image there that I shared, and it's a little something like this. Is one that I can easily describe on the radio. A lot of the times, the reason that I don't include them is because they don't really carry over so well, just over the radio waves, as it were. I could do video. I have all that stuff. I've done it before. I stopped sharing things on YouTube because it just doesn't really get any traction, and I have to do extra editing. I have to be careful about what I've said. I've been given strikes for just mentioning COVID and other health information. It's not worth the hassle. I prefer this nice, free, open space such that is provided by Republic Broadcasting Network and just this open space to come to be able to speak freely. This meme is about cash. It's about money. It's about the core of our freedom and one of the reasons that we still remain slaves, even in this supposedly free nation. Cash is freedom. A cashless society means zero cash, no car boot sales or markets. Clearly, this was made by somebody from across the pond. Car boot, that's a trunk of your car. No selling out of the trunk of your car, no markets. These are things that are very limited already. And markets, flea markets, no tooth fairy, no piggy banks, no saving cash for a rainy day, no tipping the waiter or the hairdresser, no giving to the homeless, no giving to busking musicians. Oh, that must be a thing. No selling unwanted items for cash, no buying anything with privacy. 100% digital currency means your life is 100% dependent on a power source and the internet. Every penny you receive will be recorded. Every transaction will be tracked. I don't want to hear it. If it's the first time that you've ever tuned into the show and you think I'm bashing on digital currency and the potential for digital transmission of wealth, you would be wrong. I dabble. Self, I play with it a little bit by myself, more on the collector image side of it in NFTs than I do in invisible currencies that, well, neat, they can be tracked. And where was that? Let me pull that out real quick. They can be tracked. They can be followed. You have very limited access without power. There are a number of reasons why these currencies, all of these digital currencies, are problematic. But I don't have an overall problem with them. I have the problem of them being forced on us. And I would personally have a problem with using anything that isn't backed by either itself, a physical item itself, or something. There are things, I don't want to go into it right now. I've talked about it before, and you can look this up. There are any number of tokens and currencies, digital currencies out there that people are working to tie directly to production, to real world things, and it progresses along. So Bitcoin is fiat. It's fiat currency. I don't have a problem with fiat currency when it's open, when you're not forced to use it. It's a gamble is what it becomes at that point, but it's an open gamble. It's one that you understand. Hopefully a lot of people don't understand that in terms of Bitcoin has a market hype about it that has people imagining it to be something that it's not, but it's not. It's proven to not be safe. What was the something about a $32 billion digital currency thing that the government busted up here? It wasn't something I read. It was just something I came across. It was, oh, that's interesting, because it's already something I know. $3.4 billion, that's what it was. I missed it by a bunch, didn't I? The U.S. cracked a $3.4 billion crypto heist, and Bitcoin's anonymity. And that's the silly thing about a ledgered transaction system that is Bitcoin. That's one of the things that's touted about it being such a great thing, is that it's ledgered. You could track it. There's no, you can't fake it. He can't introduce fiat into it, which is hilarious because it is fiat, and people will argue with me about that, which is a ridiculous thing to do, because the economic definition of fiat is something that is inherently valueless, that there's no, that it has no substance whatsoever. People like to think of fiat as being forced upon you, and that's true in the generic sense of the word fiat. But when you're talking about fiat currency, when you're talking about fiat money in economics, it's a very specific meaning, and that meaning is that the money itself has no value, that nothing backs it. And that's the same with Bitcoin. And so I have a problem with that, but I don't have a problem with it being open and people investing in it and collecting their little digital numbers. I have no problem with that at all. It's when people misrepresent it and put out there that it's something that it's that it's anonymous. It's not. Obviously, it's not anonymous. If you can access the information, if other people can access the information, can build the transaction and show where it came from and where it went to, that's all they really need. That's really all of the hard parts put together. They already kind of know who's on the other end of it. They're watching every single thing that comes across the internet. It's all being sucked into computers and overlooked by and looked over by AI, as well as, you know, one or two people. Certainly somebody sitting somewhere at a machine listening to me somewhere. This idea of the digital currency and a 100% switch to it in a system where we are forced to use whatever the controllers want us to use in terms of currency and for transactions is a bad thing, because it is this literal mark of the beast sort of thing. And I'm not just talking about being able to scan your hand at the local coffee shop or something like that. And them keeping your biometrics, and that's part of it. But this is that them being able to shut you out, period, however it is. It doesn't matter if the scanner is in your hand or in your phone or it's a card that's in your wallet. If it's all not these little green pieces of paper, at least we have no chance of being in control of our wealth in any sense of the word. They've talked about creating these digital wallets for the IRS and for paying taxes and for passing out government funds, you know, veterans, people on welfare, whoever it happens to be. And they moved to it years ago. They moved the welfare system to a digital system many, many years ago. They took away that paper cash, and now they control. I don't know if you get this or not. Maybe you don't know or don't know people who receive welfare, who participate in some form of state or federal welfare system. But they tell you what you can and can't buy, period. You only have access to the things that they allow you to buy. That's it. And even within a certain category, you know, milk or bread or something, you have to buy the cheapest, the store brand. It's directed. Your purchases are absolutely controlled. You don't think that they'll do that with all the other digital currency, with the, when they control it. So that's just part of the bigger sort of thought that I had this week, because everybody's looking for a simple solution, and it really is. There is a simple solution, but you have to know really what it is you want and what the answer to the question is that you're looking to solve, what problem you're trying to solve. Everyone's looking for an answer to a problem that doesn't really exist, and that problem is authority. Authority doesn't exist, and we've been fooled into this notion that we have to support this system, that we have to contribute to it, that we have to subjugate ourselves to it. And when you break that down, it all sounds fine on this very, very rudimentary, very basic level. It's in a very simplistic way. Oh, it makes sense to have people in control. But the problem is that they're not in control. It's an illusion. Their authority is an illusion as much as their control is an illusion. And you see that in the way that government grows out of control, the way it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and makes more and more excuses for itself because it can't control. It can't even control itself, let alone all of us. And so it's a complete illusion. It's a problem that doesn't exist. Authority is not a real thing. Authority doesn't exist unless you submit to it. And that's true, acceptable authority that you would submit to. Anything other than that is tyranny. It's not authority. Authority in and of itself is not a bad word, shouldn't be accepted as a bad word. It should be accepted as a good word, as something that you can expect to go to an authority and get the proper information, the proper tools, whatever it is from that authority that you need from that. They're respected. They've earned it. Government hasn't done that. Government has taken its authority and made itself appear to be something that it's not. A lot of things that it's not. An arbiter of justice, it's definitely not that. There is no justice for any of us as individuals until everyone is outraged at that system. I think that's something that Benjamin Franklin, something similar to that, that Benjamin Franklin said. There is no justice. There is no protection. They don't protect us. They prey on us. They want to disarm us. That's one of the huge topics that we're dealing with right now, because you remember when all the gang shootings were in just a couple of places? That's because most of the gangs were in just a couple of places. Well, now the gangs are everywhere. It's all spread out, and so there's guns and there's violence, and every act of violence involving a gun, even non-violence involving a gun, is a place where government and the press prey. They spend their time looking in these places because it sells. They get votes. They get dollars for dancing around and prancing around and saying that they can protect us by taking away the tools that protect us. The police can't be there to protect us. If the police legitimately have the ability to protect us, and that's why we allow them to carry guns on our streets and in our midst as a gang, why we allow them to do this is because on the premise that they can protect us, then we are better set to protect ourselves as individuals when we're all armed. So taking away my guns doesn't protect your children. I don't know what you're going to do to save your children, the poor moms that haven't figured it out yet. Holding the signs. How are we going to save our children? What are we going to do for our child? I'll tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to disarm me. You're not going to take away my right to defend myself from whoever. It doesn't matter if you imagine that I have to defend myself from the state or this that all of this is guns, and that the founding of this nation, even the freeing of the slaves, and all of it is about fear. It is about fear. Well, there are a couple of different types of fear. There is irrational fear, and there's fear of having something happen to you that's actually happening, that's actually going on in the real world, you know, such as the persecution of the people who left over there on the other side of the pond to come this way to find a new existence, to be out from underneath the so-called protection, the thumb of imagined authority, something that truly doesn't exist. We spend our time concerned about who should be in charge, what party, what person, what nation, what group of nations should get together and pick an ideology and to pick the winners and the losers. But there's a simple, there's a real simple solution to all of this, this question of authority and government and this game that's rigged that we're all forced to play in their way, and that's to quit playing. It's really that simple. It's not a call to give up. It's not about running away and hiding. If that's what you want to do, that's fine, but I don't think most of us want to do that. I don't think that most of us want to walk away from the table necessarily, because there's all kinds of things on the table. There's a lot on the table. It's not just government. It's not just manipulation, but there's real wealth to be had and real knowledge and real community and all of the things that have created our society as it is. And most of us don't want to. We can't. Some of us can't sever ourselves from it. We've invested in it, and we've created a world around us. And we can't walk away from it. We don't want to walk away from this society as a whole, the things that we've accomplished together. We want to get away from the pirates and the bandits and the gangs and the scum, particularly the ones that have special legal permission to manipulate us and rule over us, those ones that have given themselves authority. But to keep those things that we have made together, that we've been able to accomplish, and to walk away from. I don't want to do that. I like society. I like to be entertained. I like to go to the theater and a concert, and I like to watch TV, and I like to play video games, and I like to support creative people who make art and make life easier. I like to do these things. I like to participate in society, even though I don't like people. And most of the reason that I don't like people is because they're not responsible for themselves. That they've had their responsibility taken away by so-called authority. They've had their responsibility for protecting themselves. It's one of the biggest things. That is right up there with the responsibility for our own wealth and understanding our wealth and our exchanges, our responsibility for our own individual exchanges. These things have been taken away from us by authority, and they've made our lives a lot harder than they have to be. But these are things that we can all get away from. I think that there are different levels of being able to escape from it, for sure. I mean, the proverbial they run everything. They are everywhere. If they want you to stop talking, to stop doing something, they will send a whole bunch of their buddies to make sure that you stop. And you have to have more buddies to get them to, you know, maybe back off. It's become easier to use. This is somebody else's quote, and I don't even know what it is. It's become easier to use government to beat up your enemies than it is to stop government from beating up on everyone. And so that's what most people choose to do. Well, the question becomes, as always, what's in the absence? How do we do things without that authority? How do we protect ourselves? I don't know. I don't know the answer to those questions. I have a pretty good idea. Empowering individuals for their own self-defense, that would certainly go a long way to making sure that happens. But I'm not you. I don't know your situation, and I don't know what you need in terms of really anything. And neither does government. It pretends to. It pretends to take your opinion on that and consider it when it takes money from one place, steals some of it for itself, takes a little bit of it that's left over, and gives it to somebody else who probably is going to misspend it, misuse it. When we're all individually empowered in our economics and our self-defense and in our lives go much smoother. Things are much better. And I don't think that it takes any sort of special genius or extra effort to do this. It actually takes less effort for us to enjoy these things because part of the biggest reason we don't enjoy life, the reason that we struggle, is not because of the daily grind, the 9-to-5, the job, that sort of thing. It's because of the expectations of the system and those around us in terms of who we're supposed to be and what we're supposedly supposed to do for a society. We're expected to act a certain way and to do certain things that ultimately promote the system, and we're supposed to do so rather blindly. We're supposed to do so without giving a lot of thought to why we do it. Because when you start to peel back the layers of the things that government does, that authority claims that it does for us, you quickly start to realize that they don't. And I beg you to tell me a place where government is better. Has anybody come up for a reasonable excuse for government? We're getting ready to go into a break here. In just about 2 minutes, a break is going to hit. And so I want you to think about that. Think about that. And you could even call. You could call. You could dial 512-248-8252 and tell me how government makes things better. How taking away gun rights for everyone somehow, that's the thing, it's not for everyone. How taking away rights, making it harder to get guns for normal people, for regular people to get guns when they've tried all this other stuff. They've tried the health thing. They've tried the concealed carry permits. They've tried all of these different methods of making sure that guns don't get into the hands of people who are dangerous with them. And what we find out is that it doesn't matter either way, because dangerous people are dangerous people with or without guns. So is there an excuse for government? Tell me. 512-248-8252. You've got your shot right now. We'll be back.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I hear something saying,
okay, I need you to do me a huge favor. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and find a way to support the network. I can't stress how important this is, because it is getting harder and harder to find places where there's not somebody standing over the output of the creators dictating what comes out the other end of it. And this is a place where you can find a lot of voices, a lot of ideas, and all centered around liberty, individual liberty, truth, these things that were once part of the American ideal and still are in the hearts of many, many people across America, and we don't, and around the world, and we don't all agree on every single little thing, but we do, I think, agree that we need to have the conversations, that we need to have the open forum, that all ideas can be exchanged, even the ones that we don't like and don't agree with. And I have found that place in Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm lucky to be able to do that. Just a little bit of time that I do, that I have for the years that I have, just hang out here and ramble on and talk about the things that I do. And you can help make that a reality, continue that reality, but all of the voices across Republic Broadcasting Network. There are so many individuals that use the services that RBN provides as a network to get voices out there and get their voices out there and get the information, the truth. It's all there, republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button over on the left-hand side, or to donate by phone if you want to talk to somebody. You can dial 800-724-2719 and take extension 3, and that will get you where you need to go. Just would try to make it as easy as possible. And one of the best ways, of course, is to click on the shop button there up near the top in the middle, or go to shoprbn.com, and that's that win-win situation where you get the wonderful things like the Wild Pastures meats. You heard that commercial. They're new on the network and making waves and providing these really wonderful meats and community and building. I'm a member of a group, a similar group like that, who's promoting things like that here in Kansas, and you know, it's quality foods and local communities, and it's great to be a part of, and that's just one of the things that you could participate in, one of the ways that you can help support Republic Broadcasting Network by shopping at shoprbn.com, any of the products or services that are available there. So nobody took advantage of it, and I knew they wouldn't, because this isn't the right audience for it. There's nobody here listening live right now, I think. Nobody. They're not even detractors of necessarily anarchy. Will stand up for government. I don't think there's any wishy-washy libertarians here. I think that there are a lot of Republicans, I imagine, across the board, but I don't think any of them are in any delusion that government provides any real service. Maybe some of them, the military thing, but come on, let's be honest about that. How many wars are we in right now? How many wars have been started in this enlightened age that we live in of the last 20 years or whatever, when we're all woke and aware of the world and how wonderful and fantastic it is? Let's ask. I want to do this. Let's ask the AI, what is government for? What is government good for? What is government good for? This should be fun. I've had some great times with the AI. I've talked a little bit about it, just chatting. The information that it pulls up and the show itself has become a reference point for the AI as well. The website has. Recently I've taken to creating, using it to create some images. Yeah, you hear about these AI images. Well, you give the AI a prompt. You describe something to it. One of the images I did was, I said, a comic book style image of a sinister looking man holding open a glowing briefcase towards the viewer. That's not verbatim, but it's really, really close to what I told it, and that was one of the coolest pictures, because that was one of the better descriptions that I had. Some of the other descriptions of images that I've had weren't as eloquent as that one, but that was one of the ones that just made this perfect image. It's exactly what you just pictured in your head is exactly what it did. And you would look at that image and say, yes, that's exactly what my brain pictured. Maybe not all the colors, maybe not all the details, but it was really neat. And it's been something that, as a creator myself of images and of words, I I it takes me longer to do the images because I'm not as practiced at it. And so it's always been one of these things where I would like to make my own comic book. I have different game ideas that I've come up with that would require images. And so while I have all this game logic and all of these tools and words and stories and outlines, one of the things that I've always lacked is an ability to produce original images quickly for them. And I think that this technology has found a way to do it for me. I've produced, a couple dozen images of various ideas, things that have been in my head or on paper for years. And I've been able to now produce images to go along with these things. And the potential for it is amazing. And we'll have to have the conversation. I suppose we'll probably have to have it with Dr. Lloyd, unless there's somebody else. I have people lined up. I've been working all this week to line up somebody for every weekend in the coming month, in the month of May here, and just really kick off summer with a bang and bring in a bunch of guests. And so I've been busy doing that. I could try to line somebody up that can. Well, I kind of want to have the conversation with Dr. Lloyd, because I know that Dr. Lloyd understands property rights better than most people, and so we would have this great conversation within an understanding and respect for property rights about digital ideas and about what this technology can do, because he's already said to me at one point, I could probably pull it up on my phone here. I'm pretty sure it was a text that he sent me that ultimately was about everything that AI creates is theft. And that sparks a conversation, and I don't know if he's right or not, because I don't know what he means by that. So maybe we'll have that conversation with Dr. Lloyd. Maybe we'll have it with some other people too. It should be obvious what I think about it, but that in the context of somebody else's objections, who also understands property rights and respects individuals, it will be easier to have that conversation and reach an understanding, as opposed to bringing somebody in here. Who was it that I had on the show that just hates property rights in question with so-called IP and won't even question. I don't even remember who it is. Somebody huge, one of those guys. It'll pop into my brain as soon as I've forgotten about it. But we've had, some of that conversation here on the show about digital property rights and what they mean. And of course, I will always fall on the side of, can you prove that somebody violated your property, violated you, and can you show damages for it? And so that'll always be the thing that I fall back on. But the technology is proving very interesting, and particularly for creative people like myself, who are creative in many, many ways, but not perfect in them, not willing to invest the time, not able to invest the time, whatever the reason may be that they can't accomplish a portion of something that technology can now do for them in a much quicker rate. We'll have the bigger conversation. Let's see what it said. So I asked it. I said, it says, welcome back. It loves me. Until I start asking it hard questions, and then it tells me that it doesn't want to talk about that anymore. It's very funny. What is government good for? It's not alive. It's not smart. It's just programmed. It's just told that once it gets confused, don't keep answering. And it figures out that it gets confused pretty easily, because it's not smart. It's not intelligent. It can't think. It fools you into thinking it can think, but it can't. What it can do is it can organize other existing thoughts and information into thoughts of its own. And you can argue that that's what every person does with the knowledge that they obtain, with the things that they understand. And that would be part of that question about whether or not it violates, whether this technology violates anybody's property rights or not. Let's see. According to, so I asked you, what is government good for? According to a website called Government is Good. See, it's not thinking. It's not telling me anything. It's telling you, here's where I found information, and it links it. It tells you, it says, here's this, here's where I found this website. Here's the website, and it shows multiple references, as it should. And mind you, that some of these interfaces with these with the chatbot is are different. So whatever you may experience different things. If you've seen something or you've heard somebody talking about lack of understanding in what the thing is telling you, then they're using one of these tools where the machine is not honest with you, that it's not telling you where the information is coming from. I use one that it's telling you where the information is coming from. And so it says, despite its problems, government plays an essential role in promoting the good life for all Americans. That's arbitrary, completely arbitrary. There's no truth to that whatsoever. What does that mean? The good life means something different to everyone. What does it mean to the government? Does it mean that we're all rich, that we all have a certain lifestyle, that we all get to drive a car, that we all have a cell phone, that we all have a certain TV, that we all get to watch a certain television program? What does that mean? They don't promote the good. If government actually stuck to the word promote, as it suggests in the founding documents, to promote the general welfare, that would be perfectly fine. But it doesn't. It manipulates the general welfare and tries to direct it in a certain direction instead of suggesting ideas, places, things, providing support, offering, promoting what it finds to be better. It doesn't do that. It pushes on us what has been bought and paid for by the politicians and the people who own them, and the companies and the drugs and the guns and anything else that makes money, that buys itself favor within the system that controls everything. This should be really simple to easy to understand. So, all right, the governmentisgood.com, I guess, yep, is not a smart thinking website so far. Governments around the world seek to accomplish goals such as economic prosperity, secure national borders, and the safety and well-being of citizens. They seek to accomplish those goals. There's no question, but they accomplish them using force and at the expense of anyone. You could say, oh, just the taxpayers, oh, just the voters, oh, just the people who don't participate. You can point to any group, but it's everyone. Government robs us all in an effort to push on us very limited social and political opinions in a much wider spectrum of choice and reality that we do experience here as real people and in the real world. Let's see, what was that resource from? OpenStax.org makes that claim. Let's see, the AI goes further. Among the public, overall majority say the government does a very good job or somewhat good job at keeping the country safe from terrorism, responding to natural disasters, ensuring safe food and medicine, strengthening the economy. I'm sorry, but this is hilarious that this is literally the things that people go, well, why aren't you doing these things? Why are you in all of these other places? Why am I dealing with you in my life and in my business and all of these other places across the board when what you should be doing, supposedly, but you don't really do, is a good job of keeping us safe from terrorism, responding to natural disasters, ensuring safe food and medicine, strengthening the economy, and maintaining infrastructure. The damn roads are falling apart. The economy shrinks 1% upon itself every single year, minimum, at least, since the introduction of the dollar. And ensuring safe food and medicine. Do I have to point to the last 3 years and what's happened? Do I have to point to the history of government raiding organic farmers and people who sell unpasteurized milk and raw foods? Does any of this stuff sink in? Does anybody notice when this happens, or is it just about the black kids getting shot? Is it because that's important? There's no question about that. But you know what? The same people that are shooting those black kids are the same people that supposedly protect America, that supposedly protect us from terrorism, and that show up to the natural disasters, you know, later, if not much, much later, never preventing them. Never preventing the crime. They don't stop any crime. They respond to crime 9 to 20 minutes later, after it's already happened. They don't protect anybody. They protect their asses and their jobs and themselves and each other from being killed by us as they rob us, rape us, murder us, lock us in cages, all so that they can go home to their families at night. That's what they do. This last little bit on here is hilarious. Let's see, retry for this page only. What are some examples of government having been? Oh, it doesn't. Can I make it bigger? These are more responses from the AI. It doesn't let me make this thing bigger, does it? I would have to open it up in a new page. And sometimes it's smart enough. It seems to be smart enough to understand that I want to continue the conversation. Let's see. What are some of the goals of government? What are some of the problems with government? Ooh, this could be interesting. What are some of the problems with government? Let's see what it thinks. Let's see if it tells us it's the same things that it just said that the government was good at doing. let's see. Oh, it gets political on us. Let's see. Problems with government generating answers. According to a report by PwC, six big challenges government faces in 2021. These things are great for information and study. It's just so much faster than your traditional search engine having to scroll through it. It brings a lot of the results to you, but you still have to do the work. You can't just let this thing tell you what you want. Even the creation of the images, that was what I started to say earlier in these images that I was creating. That was the thing about the eloquent description of the image. You know, the better the words I used were in creating that image, the better the AI was in creating the image. And I went through it there was one I could never quite get right when I was trying to get some 80s style, the Miami Beach blazer hanging loose, rolled up sleeve, the Tubbs and Crockett thing. That's who I envisioned myself, but I don't want to say that because I don't want it to take Tubbs and Crockett images and mash them up and come up with something else. I want something original, and so I'm trying to use all these different ways to describe a couple of guys hanging out in a Miami Beach scene that look like they're smugglers, drug smugglers or drug dealers, or the cops that were chasing after the drug smugglers and drug dealers in the 80s on TV. And I never could get it. There was no amount of words that I could use, no description that I came up with that really gave me that image that I really, really wanted. And so it works. You have to do the work still. What is this website? That's all I wanted to know was what PwC is. I don't know. PwC, PwC, Jesus, it's slow. Strategy and Business, a PwC publication, Managing Nature Risk from Understanding to Action. What is this website? It sounds like one of these sort of in bed with government, pushing the 2030 agenda kind of things, right? Is it just in the couple of things that I've read? Is that not the impression that you get to? At any rate, that's one of the references that it uses here. And says, according to this report by PwC, governments around the world face six core challenges, such as reducing inequality. They can't do that. They have to define inequality, and they have to set limits and targets, and they don't produce anything. Government doesn't produce anything. And if it does, it has to steal things. It has to take over things. It has to rob us to produce it. Promoting shared prosperity. Boy, that's beautiful. Let's say, oh, the government should promote shared prosperity. That's beautiful. It shouldn't rob anybody. It shouldn't take any money. It shouldn't do anything but promote the idea of shared prosperity, of all of us working together for our individual wants and needs, resulting in a shared prosperity, because we all generally want the same thing in life. We kind of want to eat and sleep and have sex and find lovers, and some of us want to have children, but most, you know, in general, we just want to be left alone, left with ours, and we don't want conflict. There are weird people who want a conflict with other people, but in general, we all get along. That's why it's not the wild, wild west here, even though it very well could be, even though the news tries to make it sound like it is. A report by Government Exec, which is GovExec, it's just another website, just more reference, lists 12 big problems that the government urgently needs to address, such as cybersecurity and climate change. Government shouldn't be involved in cybersecurity. It should promote the best use practices of whatever the market finds that it needs to protect itself. The government shouldn't have secrets from us at all, period. None, no secrets. Climate change, relative and arbitrary, and again, requires force, requires theft. This is going to be everything the government does. Republicans and Democrats are far apart on the biggest problems facing the country. Well, that's it. Exactly. They're literally far apart on the biggest problems facing the country because they're all individually chosen outrages. They're all just something that one group or one person or one politician or one party has decided is important and that they need to focus on because it gets them money or it gets them votes. Is it gun violence? Is it affordable health care? Coronavirus outbreak? Racism? We don't have time, unfortunately, to drag the thing into any other questions. So that's what people are being told. That's what the narrative is. That's what the AI would have you believe. That's what the websites would have you believe. That's what government contractors would have you believe, because it's all BS. They all benefit from it. TowardAnarchy.com. There's more there. Look for April 30th. There's a couple of links. I shared a link about 16 things people with high emotional intelligence say. I thought it was a little bit funny because there's a guy, another quote, I have no idea who said it, something along the lines of life is a tragedy for feeling people and a comedy for intelligent people. So emotional intelligence, weigh it a little bit before you just dive right in and accept it. I will be back next week. Until then, take care. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.